Okay, so we're going to continue from last week, the benefits of prayer. I think it's part four. Let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come giving you praise, giving you honor and glory once more because you're worthy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us. Thank you for your mercies that endure forever. Thank you, Lord, for the way you provide for us, the way you watch over us, the way you protect us. Father, we invite your midst, your presence here in our midst, Lord, in an even stronger way. I ask, Lord, that your blessing, your anointing will be on this lesson, that you would give me utterance to deliver it, Lord. Give your people hearing ears and a receptive heart, Lord, so that the word will fall on good ground and bring forth fruit in their lives abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, prayer. We're continuing from last week. I'm just going to do a quick recap. We see that prayer strengthens our faith. Prayer builds our relationship with God. Now, if we want to have a relationship with someone, we have to work on it. You know, relationships just aren't automatic. You have to put in some time. You have to put in some effort, okay? And when we pray, we're putting in time and effort, and it's going to build our relationship. We get to know God. We get to, you know his voice. It helps us to recognize his voice. Prayer makes us a threat to the devil. Did you know that? A praying Christian is a scary Christian to Satan. Somebody sent me one of those little, clips or whatever you call those little picture thingy things. I think it was Bonnie or somebody. With this person, they went in, looking all wimpy into their room to pray. And when they came out like a lion with a big roar. That's what prayer does for us, right? It makes us a threat to the devil. And I also shared, for those of you who weren't here, that one time when I was praying, I was a baby Christian and I was praying, and the enemy was fighting me tooth and nail. You know, for some reason, he did not want me to pray that day. And I had to press my way. You know, sometimes we're going to have to press our way in prayer. You know, prayer isn't always easy, you know. Sometimes we are going to have to launch out into the deep, into prayer. You know, those "now I lay me down to sleep" kind of prayers, sometimes, you know, depending on our situation, just isn't going to work. We're going to have to launch out. We're going to have to go deeper. And as you launch out and you begin to go deeper, you can bet that Satan is going to fight you. Anyway, I persevered, I pressed my way, and the presence of the Lord came into that room so strong. And the enemy just flew out. In the twinkling of an eye, bloop, he was gone. And I felt like the skies had parted, and my prayer suddenly was getting through. It was as though God was sitting on his throne, just nodding. Yes, yes, yes. That's how it felt. Like, you know, like he was just soaking up everything that I was saying. But I had to press. So there are going to be times when we are going to press our way. But, you know, as long as we stay focused, we're a threat to Satan. He is afraid of us, but he just doesn't want us to know that. And then we left off. At prayer recharges our spiritual batteries. You know, when sometimes we just have to recharge. You know, when you've been out in the world and you hear all the stuff that go on, all the negativity, the complaining, all the swearing and all that stuff, you know, it drains you. It has an effect on you. And one surefire way to recharge your spirit is to pray, you know? And so we're going to go on from there. Now, when in the, this lesson really was not supposed to go in this direction, but I believe this is the way God wants us to go tonight. He took me back to Luke 11, 1 through 4. We're going to read from 1 through 4. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, you know. Now, this is not part of my notes, but it just came to me. I had some friends several years ago, and they weren't sure exactly who they should pray to. Should they pray to God, or should they pray to Jesus? Who should they pray to? Here Jesus is making it quite clear. We are to pray to our Father, who art in heaven. He is our Father, so that's who we address our prayers to. Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We give praise, honor, and glory to God's name. You know, we acknowledge him. You know, we worship him. We praise him. We thank him. Okay? Before we just jump in and gimme, gimme, gimme. Praise and worship. Now, this is where things got interesting. Thy kingdom come. This is where my spirit just sort of come alive. Thy kingdom come. And it just stayed there, thy kingdom come. And, you know, up until when I was doing this lesson, I never really gave much thought, you know, to this, thy kingdom come. Usually, in my mind, I don't know if it's this way with you guys, but when, you know, I hear thy kingdom come, you know, all I'm thinking about is heaven. Is that what you guys think about? Heaven, going to heaven, you know, seeing all the biblical characters, Joseph and Daniel and Peter and Paul, seeing all of our loved ones who have gone on before us, you know, seeing our friends who have died. You know, I've actually made a list one day of all my friends who died over the years. Because I heard on some show somewhere where this person went to heaven and he had a huge crowd waiting for him. And so they must get the memo or something when we're coming, you know. But, you know, I made my little list of everybody who died and who I know went to heaven. And I was looking at the list and wondering, you know, when my time comes, which actually I'm hoping it wouldn't. Because, you know, I want to be alive when Jesus comes back. I want to be caught up. I want, you know, I want to experience that. The idea of being put in a grave and having things, you know, somehow. And so I was thinking, I wonder, you know, if I'm going to have a big crowd waiting for me, you know. Maybe I will. I know I have a few. I know a few people who died. I know Pastor's mom, same as Sarah. I know Miss Katie. And, you know, I have a couple of friends in my younger days that were Christians who died. My mom is there. I'm not too sure about my dad, but I'm hoping, you know. I know I have a cousin there. So I'll have at least 5 or 6 people waiting to welcome me. But thy kingdom come. You know, that's what I'm thinking. You know, heaven, by the Holy Spirit, you know, he put a totally different light on this kingdom come business. And, you know, it never ceased to amaze me that just when you think that you, you know, have a particular verse locked down, you know exactly what it means, then the Holy Spirit just upset the apple cart. He just takes that scripture and he puts a new light on it. And then you're amazed and you're wondering, why didn't I see this before? You know? So this is what happened to me. Thy kingdom come. Now I have sort of an analytical mind. You know, I'm always dissecting things and, you know, wondering why and stuff. And so I began to, you know, I just began to wonder, well, you know, why do we have to pray for his kingdom to come? Come where? Well, obviously, if Jesus is here and he's saying that, telling his disciples they are to pray, thy kingdom come, he's talking about here on earth. we are to pray God's kingdom here on earth. So that wasn't, you know, that didn't take too long to figure out. But then I began to wonder, why? What's the purpose of praying, thy kingdom come? And this is where the Holy Spirit took me in a totally different journey. Now, I've taught this before, but I just never saw this part here. You know, like I said, when I think about kingdom, the kingdom of God, I'm thinking going to heaven, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, we live here on earth. We're not in heaven yet. We'll get there someday, but we're here. And so the Holy Spirit reminded me of a song that I used to sing years ago, and some of you may know it, Righteousness, Peace, Joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Not peace and joy like the world gives. You know, the peace and joy that the world gives is just fleeting. It doesn't last. It's just for a moment. But the Holy Ghost, his righteousness, his peace, and his joy lasts forever. So I looked it up, and I came on Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, it's not eating and drinking, you know, and having a merry, it's not just that, you know. I mean, sooner or later, you get tired of eating and drinking, wouldn't you? I mean, how much food can you eat? How much can you drink? You know, how much merriment can we take before we get tired of it? You know, have you ever noticed that sometimes if you're just in love with a particular item, let's say a dress. I remember years ago, a friend and I was poring over this catalog. Both of us fell in love with the same dress, you know. And we were just oohing and aahing over this dress. And I wanted this dress so badly that I even bought it in a bigger size because it didn't have it in my size. Oh, I mean, that was the dress that to die for. Well, that only lasted for a couple months. And then somebody showed up in Sunday school in my dress, and now I didn't like it no more. The fascination, you know, died real quick, you know. My husband bought a new car one time, and, you know, and he was so in love with that car, he would shine it, you know, wash it every weekend, vacuum it, you know, guys, you do the real thing and all that. That only lasted for a little while. And then, you know, skip a week, skip the next week, it wasn't getting washed, it wasn't getting buffed and shined, you know. So, you know, the things of this world, they're just temporary. They don't last forever. But God's kingdom, his righteousness, his peace, and his joy, you know, it's eternal. The contemporary English version says, God's kingdom isn't about eating and drinking, it's about pleasing God, about living in peace. Don't we want to live in peace? You know, there are parts of the world where they don't know what peace is. They, you know, bombs are constantly being dropped on them, you know, it's just awful. I cannot imagine living in a place like that. You know, it's awful. I know we have our issues here, but, you know, compared to in some other places, we're doing good, aren't we? Living in peace and about happiness. All this comes from the Holy Ghost. So, God wants us to have righteousness, peace, and joy here on earth. That's his kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's about doing right, you know? It's about obeying his word. When we obey, we get the blessings, we get rewards. Peace, we get peace. You know, people, you know, we can't buy peace, can we? You know, those celebrities that have all this money, they don't have no peace. You know, one minute you see they're happy, they're so, you know, and then the next minute, you know, they're in the divorce court or some, you know, some issue. They don't know what real peace is. I remember the first time I experienced peace. I experienced what peace is all about. You know, I got saved in this holiness church and everything, and they had all these rules. You couldn't do this, couldn't wear this, this, and all this stuff. Well, this particular Saturday night, my mom sewed me the most beautiful dress. And I, you know, I decided I was going to wear my dress. Now, the dress, you know, didn't have three-quarter sleeves, and it didn't have the high neck, and it wasn't, you know, past my knees and all that. And, you know, when you're 16 or 17, you know, you don't want to dress like that. So, I don't know, I guess it was some kind of a spirit, rebellious spirit came over me that weekend, and I decided I'm wearing my dress. I'm going to put on perfume. I'm going to do my hair up, curl it up, and I don't care what they say. I'm going to church in this dress, and anybody say anything to me, I'm down in the back to the Pentecostal church. So that Sunday morning, I took extra time preparing, you know, the church. And when I was done, I stood back and I was looking at my reflection in the mirror, and I expected condemnation to roll over me because I had broken every church rule that Sunday morning. You know, I put on lip gloss, I put on a little bit of makeup, I curled my hair, I had short sleeves. I mean, this was definitely not would have been cutting it. My dress wasn't below the knee, you know, I had a little bit of a, you know, V-neck, and I expected condemnation. I really did. And I'm telling you, I got the shock of my life when all I felt was peace. I just felt like, this thing just encircled me. And it shocked me, and I stood there thinking, peace. I remembered that word came out of my mouth. I felt peace. I knew that God wasn't angry with me. You know, and that was the first time that I, you know, experienced what peace was all about, and I really cannot describe it. It was the most amazing feeling. When I walked to church that morning, I felt like I was walking on cloud nine. I really felt like I was floating. And when I finally made it to church, I think I sang louder than anybody else in our church because of the peace, you know, that I had inside of me. You can't buy that kind of peace, you know. That's the kind of peace that comes from God. And so God wants us, you know, he doesn't want us to wait until we die and go to heaven to experience peace. He doesn't want us, you know, to wait until we get to heaven to have joy and to be happy. That's not the kingdom of God. We're supposed to have peace and joy here, okay? But, you know, John 10:10 says that the thief comes, the only reason he comes, I'm paraphrasing, is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Having, you know, the ability to, you know, to do what is right. You know, to have joy and to have the peace, that the kind of peace that passes all understanding, that is abundant life. You know, that is abundant life. God doesn't want us sad and depressed and, you know, all stressed out. That's Satan. You know, I have a situation that's going on right now with some family members at home. And this one particular family member has been trying to draw me in, you know. And I said, Lord, I'm not going there. You know, I need to stay in a place of peace. Nobody is stealing my peace today, especially though I had to come and teach. I could not afford to be distracted. I said, and the thing about it, I tried to answer the phone and I kept swiping. And the thing wouldn't turn over. It just wouldn't. So I said, okay, you don't have to tell me twice. The enemy will come and try to steal your peace however he can. All right? He does not want God people to be in peace. He wants us to be stressed out. He wants us to be downtrodden, burdened, you know, can't sleep. You know, he steals our sleep. That's what he wants. All right? But God doesn't want that. That's not what God's kingdom is all about. When he can't, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What he can't steal, he'll try to kill it. And if he can't steal it or kill it, he'll destroy it. He's got the kind of mentality that says, if I can't have it, neither can you. You know, you've heard people say that. If I can't have it, nobody will. So, you know, he's on the prowl to steal our peace. He's to steal our joy, you know, to get us, you know, into that state where, you know, we just cannot enjoy what God has for us. All right? But we don't have to allow that. We can fight back by prayer. That's what praying does. That's a benefit. When we pray, we get peace, you know, we get joy. You know, we get revelation knowledge on how to live right. You know, God shows us how to avoid certain temptations, how, you know, not to fall, you know, prey to the enemy in certain areas where we may be weak. You know, we get all this in prayer. It just doesn't, you know, happen. It just doesn't come to us. We have to be in prayer. Deuteronomy 11:16-21. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be. What does it say? As frontlets between your eyes. Thank you. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine heart and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give them, as days of heaven on earth. See, there are conditions to us having those kind of days. Days of heaven on earth. Don't you want to have days of heaven on earth? Well, see, here Moses, you know, is, the children of Israel, they're being instructed here how to accomplish this. You know, God doesn't just leave us to stumble around in the dark, you know, and to find out through trial and error. He tells us what to do. He said, you know, don't serve, you know, false gods. Don't turn aside from our God and worship false gods. He said, because if they do, the God's wrath will be kindled. It'll cause the heavens to shut up. There'll be no rain. You know, we had some rain the other day, and I was saying to the Lord, California needs some of this rain, Lord. You know, they need rain, but, you know, there's no rain there. So rain is a good thing. And because if the rain doesn't fall, then the trees doesn't yield its fruit. He says that, you know, he told them, he said, shut these words up in your heart and in your soul. Bind them, you know, for a sign on your hand. In other words, keep them in front of you, okay? Teach them to your kids. And he said, when, you know, you do this, that you will have, your days will be multiplied, you know, for you and your children, and you will have days of heaven on earth. So we don't have to go wait until we get to heaven to have those kind of days. All we have to do is obey God. All right? The children of Israel were also instructed in Deuteronomy 30:19. Let me go there. I didn't have time to put it in my notes. Okay. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. See, they were told what to choose. They weren't left to decide what to choose. God makes things easy for us, doesn't he? You know, we're the ones that like to complicate things. You know, God makes everything simple. He said, choose life. Choose life that you and your seed, you and your children, your descendants may live. How do we choose life? By obeying God's word, by doing what he says, you know, by, obeying his word. That's how we choose life. So prayer, when we pray, we're praying in peace in the earth. We're praying in joy. Do you realize what would happen if Christians weren't here on earth? You think this world is crazy right now? Let us get out of here. Let the rapture take place right this moment. You know, they're persecuting Christians. You know, you can't pray. You can't say the Ten Commandments. Kids can't mention Jesus in school or anything like that. But you just wait until we're gone. It'll be horrible. There'll be no peace. You know, no joy. Satan will be let loose. He'll be able to do whatever he wants. And then they're going to wish we were here, weren't they? But then it'll be too late. Too late shall be the cry. So because, you know, of our prayers, we have the benefit of praying in peace and righteousness and joy into the earth here, not just for us, but for others too. When, you know, when we pray and God hears our prayers, we're not the only ones who benefit. Unbelievers benefit too. So, you know, they should really love us, don't you think? 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Right? For kings, and for all those who are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. When we pray for, you know, our elected officials, when we pray for, you know, our senators, our congressmen, our president, you know, our judicial system, the people on the Supreme Court and the upper and lower courts, you know, when we pray for them, ask God to give them wisdom in so that they make righteous decrees, and you know, and we pray for their protection, we pray for our country, we pray for our cities, you know, our towns, our schools. So many schools, you know, there's turbulent in schools. School used to be a place where kids can go and just, you be a kid. Now, you know, the halls are patrolled by, you know, policemen with guns. And see, that's what happened when you take the Ten Commandments out, you know. You can't go to the mall. Sometimes there's some person acting, you know, crazy. There's road rage. I've never seen so much road rage like I've seen lately. It seems like it don't take nothing to tick people off. And every, you know, they whip their gun out. It's like the wild, wild west, I guess, all over again. You know, if you blink at the person the wrong way, they whip out their gun, pow, pow. You know? There's no peace. You know, there's no quietness. You know, there's no righteousness. Righteousness, or the ability to do right, has been swept under the rug. It locked away in the closet, throw away the key. You know, people's hearts are callous. There's no, you know, people do stuff, there's no remorse anymore. It's, you know, you wonder, Lord, what's happening? These are the days that we live in, and that's why, you know, we have to pray for our, you know, our senators and them. You know, even if we don't like them. You know, the Bible didn't say pray if you like them. You know, and some, you know, sadly, but it's true, some of us, you know, if we don't like someone, they're not on our prayer list. We pray for only the ones we like. But they're the ones that we really should pray for, so that God can change their heart, so that he can bring them in line with his will and his purposes, so that his plans can be established here on earth, so that we can live a peaceable and quiet life. You see the benefit, you know? You know, God wants us to pray for all men. Oh, you know, everyone. Everyone needs prayers. Now, the world doesn't, you know, they don't understand this. They might think this is foolishness, all right? But 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because it's foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. See, the unbeliever, you know, they don't get all of this. You know, it doesn't call for all that. You know why, and all this prayer. No, you know, it's common sense. Use your logic. You know, that's how they think. But no, it doesn't work that way, because the Bible said that that Satan has blinded the hearts of men. He's put a veil over the eyes of some people, so that they can't see, they can't hear, they don't know what you're talking about. One time, the Lord gave me a revelation on a particular scripture, and you know, it's sad, but even some Christians, they may not be able to receive the deeper things of God. God gave me this revelation, and I was so excited, and I called this particular friend up, and I was telling her, and I expected her to be just as excited as I am, and she had no idea what I was talking about. It was like pouring water on the dog's back. Why? Because she wasn't there yet. You know, she hadn't arrived. And so I quickly learned that some things you just don't share with everybody, you know. Remember what happened to Joseph? He shared his dream, and then his brothers became envious and they sold him into slavery. Sometimes when God gives you a vision, I'm learning that, believe you me, is just keep it to yourself, you know. So they don't understand, you know, what, you know, the things of God, all right? Because they're natural, they're still in their sin, okay? The eyes of their understanding have not been enlightened yet. They're not able to receive, okay? But those of us who have that understanding, you know, God expects us to be doers of the word. He expects us to pray for those people so that they can get to the place where we are, okay? It's the church's responsibility, those of us who know God, the saints, it's our responsibility to pray God's kingdom, you know. It's our responsibility to pray peace in, pray, you know, righteousness in, so that people aren't running around shooting each other off, you know, traffic lights and, you know, and shooting up in schools. And, you know, pray so that they would come to the understanding, you know, of who Jesus is. That's what we have to do. You know, we don't want to stand before God and, you know, and he asks us, well, why didn't you pray? And so why didn't you pray for so and so? I put them on your heart. Why didn't you pray? No. You know, we just don't want to stand before God and feel ashamed because we didn't do our part here on earth, you know? A lot of, you know, most of us, I say all of us, we have regrets, you know, in certain areas and things we wish we could get a do-over, but sometimes we just don't get a do-over. So it behooves us here, while we're here on earth, to pray. That's why, because Jesus said, that's what he told his disciples, pray this way, thy kingdom come. Why would he tell them that if it wasn't important? Our prayers, you know, change things. God's will and his purposes and his plans will only be done when we pray. When we pray, we are the beneficiary of peace, righteousness, and joy. So that's a benefit. When you think next time, you know, you don't feel like praying, or you think your prayers aren't working, the enemy comes and whispers to you, it's not working. It is. You know, a lot of us aren't going to really know how effective our prayers were until we get to heaven. You know, everything, you know, we don't see it all here. I heard about this lady that was praying for this brother, and she prayed. She had been praying for years, some 30 something years she was praying, and eventually her brother died, and she was so sad that her brother had made it. Well, in the accident, he died in an accident. Some person found some memento that he was keeping of her, and it had her name and address and everything. And the person found her and, you know, delivered the little trinket. And she was, you know, she was so sad and so upset, and she was crying and everything. And she said, you know, I prayed and I don't know where he is in eternity. I don't know if he got saved. And the man said, he did get saved. Before he died, before he drew his last breath, I led him to the Lord. Now, if you know, that was a divine arrangement that God made to give her some peace. Okay? Had it not been for him, she would have never known until she got to eternity that her brother made it. So all the time when she was thinking her prayers weren't making a difference, it did. At the right time, God made sure that someone was there to lead this man to Christ. You know, God is not slack concerning his promises, you know, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We serve a good God, and he's faithful, and he loves us, and he has given us a weapon, the weapon of prayer. I encourage all of us, including myself, use it.